There was a whole ministry campaign that came off of this verse. Some of you will remember it, those little buttons. Please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. While you are finding Philippians 1, let me just say that this service is the first time we are together as a church family in 2026. And as I was thinking about this service, I was genuinely filled with thanksgiving for all that the Lord has done in our lives. When you come to a new year, it's like looking both ways before you cross the street. You look back to the last year. That's why we have a testimony service to how do you see God working in your life? And then you look ahead and you consider how would God speak to you about things in your life that ought to change. Your family and your friends around you are usually pretty good at helping us with this. It's God's kindness to us, isn't it? But this is a very important passage for us. Because it's not self-improvement. No, it's God who began a good work in us, and it is God who is continuing to work in us. Not just in 2026, but until the day of Christ Jesus, to completion, as long as we live and await his return, or should the Lord come before the end of our days. And I was thinking about the testimony service last Sunday. There was likely many more people that would have shared had we had time. We simply ran out of time. And I want to say to you as a church family that you still have time. I would encourage you over the next weeks, as we're together on Sunday mornings, to find someone and you can just answer the question. You know, this is what I was going to say last Sunday. This is what a testimony I would give of what God is doing in my life, how I've been growing in my faith. And as a church family, I think it's good for us even to humbly say, this is how you could pray for me in the next year. Maybe you feel more comfortable doing that in your family, in a growth group, in those who know you well. But I think this is part of the life of the body, that we walk with God together. And what God is teaching us, and what I pray we'll see here in Philippians chapter 1, will be a great encouragement to us. What I love about this passage is it teaches us about genuine Christian love. We don't just attend church. We're a part of a church. We're a part of a body. Christ is our head, and one is a hand, one is a foot. We are the church. We don't just go to a building. We don't just attend a service. And what we'll find in these verses is this incredible sense of we have fellowship with one another. That we know each other and love each other and forgive each other and pray for each other and all the one another's of the Bible that we walk together with God. And as I was thinking about 2026 in this year, I thought, this will be a great place for us to land. And then I started to study this passage, and I realized there's so much more here than I've ever seen before. And I'm even more convinced. If your Bible is open, you'll see that this passage begins and ends with prayer. Do you see it in verse 3? We're going to look in chapter 1 at verse 3 to 11. And it's like the Apostle Paul is beginning his prayer. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because. And then he kind of gets distracted. He says, this is why my prayer is so important. And then he goes on for the reason why he's praying, all the way down to verse 9, end of verse 8. And then he kind of picks up his prayer again. Do you see it? And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. So, he starts with prayer, and then he says, but this is why it's so important that we pray, and then he comes back to it. So there's two parts to this. But I would like to pray. And then as we end the message, I would like to pray through these verses. So consider how you would pray beginning of 2026 and how we will pray as a church. But let's begin asking God to open our eyes. Let's pray. Kind Father, I do pray again that you will open the eyes of our hearts to see and believe that you will give us the gift of faith and produce faith in our innermost being, that our minds would be open to hear and understand what your Spirit is saying to us in your word, and especially in these verses here in Philippians this morning. These verses are so filled with thanksgiving and genuine love. It's just beautiful to see what you're doing in this little church in Philippi in the New Testament. And I pray that you would gather us up in First Baptist Church, that we would understand and that we would believe that you've begun a good work in all who believe, in each of us. And you are not finished with us yet. That you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. We can look back over the years. For many who have been Christians and walked with you for many years, we can see what you have been doing, even over the last year. But I pray now that even this morning you would strengthen and encourage each heart that is yours with confidence and a humble trust that you are still working in us. I pray this in this service right here this morning. Where some have lost hope, I pray that you would produce hope. Where some have become hard-hearted, would you soften us? That our love would grow for each other and for you. Where our faith is a little threadbare, would you knit us together to trust you, to walk with you this year? Will you open our eyes to see and our hearts to believe and give us strength to walk in this truth? And we simply pray again. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Just follow along as we read and hear God speak to us. In Philippians 1, verse 3 to 11, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. There are really two very clear sections here. The first section is in verse 3 to 8, expressing the reason for Paul's love and his thankfulness and what is really behind his prayer. And then the second section really becomes the prayer as he finishes it off. So let's do the very same thing. Let's consider these two sections. In the first section, you can see how it works. It's kind of like a verse sandwich. There's a piece of bread on both sides, and then there's a verse that's right in the middle. And I would suggest to you that verse 6 is right in the middle. It's the main idea that he's trying to get across here. In verse 3 to 5, Paul is thankful in prayer because of their partnership in the gospel. As I read, you could see it kind of just jumps off the page in verse 5. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day till now. That's the first section. And then verse 6 is right in the middle. And then verse 7 and 8 becomes the second section. And on the second side of verse 6, Paul explains his love for them. His genuine love for them is because they are partakers with him in God's grace. So those are the two key words. Partnership in 3 to 5 and partakers in verse 7 to 8. Now the reason I'm convinced of this is that in the original language, it's the same word. And it's a word that many of us know. If you grew up in the church, you know this word. It's the word koinonia. It's the word fellowship. That we have fellowship in the gospel. And this is why, right at the center of it, he can say, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Why? Because we have fellowship in the gospel. We have the gospel in common. The word means common, or what we share. And then he says the exact same thing about the grace of God. We have the fellowship with Paul in God's grace. So we can understand that these two ideas on both sides of verse 6 are saying the same thing. They're very similar. They're slightly different so that we get a fuller understanding of what he's saying. And I believe the Apostle Paul did this on purpose. He is saying in verse 3 that this is why he is so thankful. Because God began a good work in this little church in Philippi. And I think this is good and right for us in 2026. To begin with eyes that are wide open to say, look what God did among us. And to start with great thankfulness. Because it's like the Psalms, not to us, O Lord, but to your name be glory because you have been working among us. That we are thankful. I love verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. That as we think about one another, that we recognize God's work in one another. Please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. I was at a funeral yesterday, and one of the things the pastor said is this person was a little prickly and difficult and not perfect. And he said, neither am I as the pastor, and neither are any of you who are here. But God is working in us. This is Philippians 1. I'm thankful to God that he is still working in us. It's not what they have done. It's what God has done. Do you see it? That's why verse 6 is so critical to our understanding of this. And that's why he has great joy in verse 4 and 5. Because it's what God has done. And their sharing, their koinonia, their partnership, their expression of God has brought them in by his gospel through his grace. A friend told me this week that Philippians is like a missionary letter that is written to a church back home. And I think this is a great description of the book of Philippians. In fact, the Apostle Paul says at the end of Philippians, he says, you are truly partners with me in the gospel. In chapter 4, you can just flip over the page. It's only a page and a half. In chapter 4, verse 14 to 19, he is specifically addressing that they were a part of the ministry by giving, by their donations, by their financial support. Just listen to these words in verse 14, 4 verse 14. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you alone. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs. Paul is saying that they have entered into partnership with him because they're supporting the work that he is doing in his missionary endeavors. Chapter 4, he specifically addresses their financial support, that they're partners with him in his work. That's what he's doing in chapter 4. But that's not what he's doing in chapter 1. In chapter 1, he is saying the gospel has bore fruit in their life. It has actually transformed them. They've shared in the gospel, and they are changed on the inside first. They share in the grace of God. And that's why they can share in the ministry of what God is doing. Their fellowship is in God's grace. And yes, it results in giving. It results in serving. And I would pray that many of us take up these great opportunities to serve one another in these days. The way we will do it, the way we will sit by the bedside of somebody who has a great need, is because we share in the grace of God. It will make a difference in how we live. And as we step into 2026, it is because we have experienced this beginning work of God in us to share in his grace. And that grace will be a transforming grace. The Apostle Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace to me was not without effect. You can go to church all you want. You can look like a Christian. But what will change us is the true grace of God within us. I am what I am by the grace of God, and his grace toward me was not without effect. You cannot receive the grace of God without it affecting you. What a beautiful picture in Philippians. They care about missions. They get behind it financially. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But it is the grace of God that produces giving. It's grace giving. This is true of all Christians who love God, who love the church family. They're committed to gospel ministry and sharing in God's grace here in our church and around the world. But it starts with the work of God in us. That's chapter 1 of Philippians. If you've been attending First Baptist Church for any amount of time, you will know that we trust the Lord for our financial needs. We do not ask for money in long appeals. You know this is true. We teach what the Bible says about giving. We talk about giving is an act of worship. But it has to come out of hearts that give by the grace of God. We don't make long appeals. We teach about it as we come across it in Scripture. But we are trusting God to move our hearts. It's a beautiful thing for us to consider this at the very beginning of 2026. That we give faithfully to the Lord's work. That we seek to humbly and faithfully carry out gospel work and share in God's grace. And I can genuinely say that I believe God has accomplished great things in First Baptist Church over all these years. We are grateful for all those who support the ministry of this church. None of your pastors has any idea how much people give in their financial support of this church. We don't know, thank the Lord. We don't treat anybody differently, whether you give or not, whether you're able to or not. But what matters most to me is that it is coming out of the grace of God. It's an act of worship And so here in Philippians, right in chapter 1, he's talking about partnership and sharing in the gospel and sharing in grace. And it works itself out in the way we live. That's why we see that the key verse between these two descriptions of partnership and partaking, of koinonia, of the gospel, of sharing in the gospel and sharing in God's grace, right in the center of it all, is genuine thankfulness, because the God who began to work in us is still working in us. If God has begun to work in you, you have trusted in Jesus' death and resurrection as a sacrifice on your behalf, and that you are made clean and holy only because of what he has done. Something that Paul calls being in Christ. You have put your trust in him. This is Philippians 1 verse 1. He's talking to all the saints who are what? In Christ Jesus. And it's really a beautiful picture, because he's saying it's for all of these saints, all of these that are made holy in Christ Jesus, and including the overseers and deacons. He's not elevating the overseers and deacons and those in leadership above others. It's almost like he puts them second on purpose. Yeah, it's all of those who are in Christ. Oh yeah, and it includes your leaders too. It's this beautiful, humble picture of what matters is, are you in Christ? And I believe that's Paul's emphasis here. They are in Christ. To all of you who are in Christ, remember that you share, you fellowship in the gospel, and you fellowship in God's grace. And then right here in the heart of it all, it's what God is doing. That's why I don't think it's about what we do in our giving, in our partnership, until the end of the book. Because the heart of it is verse 6. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Do we ever need this message today? If you've been a Christian for a while, probably our greatest discouragement comes from how little progress we've made, if we're honest. How little progress we've made in our spiritual life. We thought by now we would be teachers. We would be these spiritual saints. That somehow we would have made greater progress. But our encouragement does not come just by markers on our progress. Our encouragement comes that God is still working. Our English translations use the word continue until completion. Or some translations, he will carry it on to completion. In the ESV, which most of us are using, he will bring it to completion. That's the idea of these verses. So this is the idea of verse 6. Thankfulness. That we see that God is still working in us. And I can say, even over these very short 9 years that I have been your pastor, I've seen God working in this church. I've seen God working in my heart. And I'm grateful he's still working. If you know me, you know that I have to ask forgiveness quite often. God is good. He is still working. But I want you to notice in verse 6 that he is not saying that God is working for us. It's a misunderstanding if you would step into 2026 and you would take this verse, although it does say this in other places in the Bible, but it would be a misunderstanding if you somehow just think God is at your bidding to do whatever you desire. It does not say God is working for us or even through us. Those things might come up in other passages, but here, the great emphasis is that God is working in us. This is a great encouragement to me. God is working in me, and I can say to you, that if he has begun this work of sharing in the gospel and sharing in his grace, I can say to you that I'm confident of this. Verse 6, I am sure of this. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. In fact, this is how we know who are truly saved. 1 John says they went out from us because they were never really of us. No, it's those who are truly in sharing in the gospel and sharing in grace. I can be sure of this. He began a good work in you, and he will bring it to completion till the day of Christ Jesus. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Verse 6 emphasizes a good work that's begun. And the idea is connected to the Philippian Christians in verse 5, just before it, that they shared in the gospel from the first day until now. Do you see it in verse 5? From the very first day, at the beginning, in the past, until now, right now, in the present, as Paul is writing the letter. And then he points ahead, until the day of Christ Jesus, the consummation of it all, when Christ comes and rules and reigns over his people forever. So it includes us. And the work of God is so clearly explained in the past, in the present, and in the future. We do not know if we will survive 2026. But one thing we can be sure of is that if you share in the gospel of grace because God has drawn you to it and worked in your life, I am sure of this, that he will bring it to completion. He will continue to work in your life. What I love about verse 5 and 6 is it connects God's work at the beginning. And we know the book of Philippians is a little church in a town called Philippi. We know this because in Acts 16, we have the description of the very first person who came to faith, Lydia, remember? She was the first convert in Philippi. And if Paul is writing this missionary letter to these Christians in this little church in Philippi, he's saying, he began a good work in you. When did it begin? On that very first day. Remember? It says the Lord opened Lydia's heart to understand and to believe what Paul was preaching. And then as you follow on in the chapter, it's still the same chapter. It's still the same place, but God is beginning to gather others. Remember the Philippian jailer? Paul and Silas are worshiping as they're singing in prison. There's an earthquake. The Philippian jailer is about to kill himself. And Paul yells out, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." Why are they all there? Because God was beginning to work in the hearts of those who heard worship. And we aren't told, but I don't doubt there were of those that God was calling to share in the grace of the gospel. The church is born from the very first day in the beginning. The Philippian jailer places his trust. What must I do to be saved? And you know the story. You can read it in Acts 16. And so to this church in Philippi, from the very beginning, what God began to do in you, he will bring to completion. And then what I love in the next section, in 7 and 8, we see this incredible expression of love. Do you see it? It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace. Paul partook of this very same grace. He was a sharer of this very same grace, because it's the work God was doing in him. And isn't it super clear in his imprisonment, his defense and confirmation of the gospel, these who were there with him in prison, maybe he's referencing those who afterward suffered for their faith and were being persecuted, and they were defending and confirming the gospel, but they they stood with him, and this little church is born out of suffering. And he loves them. And I love his expression in verse 8. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Could God do this in us? Could God do this in you in 2026? Not just to attend, not just to know a few people that you say hi to every single Sunday. Hey, see you next Sunday. But could you share in the grace of God in a growing way that God would do this, that we would have the affection of Christ, not just the affection of Paul. Do you see it? This is really amazing. He really loved them. Often I end my emails to those I know in Christ's love. And I say it, and I do mean it, but I was really struck by this week. We are not just a group of people that have the same interests and affinities and in ways that we connect over our hobbies. And we're not just a bowling club. We're not just a soccer team. We're all so different. Different interests, different people, different cultures, different personalities. But we have experienced the undeserved love and grace of God. It's what we share and we partake in. And it brings us together in this, because of our common need of grace and God's genuine work of grace, this is what we share. And look at verse 7. Who is it that shares in God's grace? Do you see it in verse 7? All of you. You are all partakers with me of grace. And who are the ones he loves in verse 8? I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ. And whose affection is it? It's Christ's affection. This is God's good work in us. Romans 5, verse 5 says, he has poured out his love in our hearts. Could it be that in 2026, this would fill our prayer? That this would be true of us as a church? That this good work of God would grow in us, that our affection and the affections of Christ would grow in us and in this body. We don't take attendance at First Baptist Church. I don't know if you knew that. But we love you. And we need to grow in this love. And the only way this happens is the good work of God in us. It's not our doing. It's not even our affection. We can't simply wind it up and try to be nice. That's why verse 6 is so important and so wonderful at the same time. We have a confidence in someone else who began a good work, and he will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. In the end of verse 8, what is it? It's the affection of Christ. And that's why this second section is so important as well. Because it's a prayer. And it brings us naturally to the place where we pray, Lord, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can love people like that. I just want to go to church on the weekend. But look how Paul prays in verse 9. One primary request that is defined in many ways. But this is his prayer for the church. I pray that your love will abound more and more. Not just go from 0 to 60, but that it would be a growing love. It'll abound more and more and more. And he is saying that you will grow in this love. I pray this for First Baptist Church. I am absolutely certain that God has been working in our church before any of us were here. God began this good work in First Baptist Church with only 7 people when this church was started in 1888, when Calgary was only a town of 500 people. God knew this day was going to happen. And he began a good work in the hearts of a few people. And the church has struggled over the years, and if you follow our history, you could even say that we lost our way at times. But God, who began a good work, is still working. And as I have seen God's hand in my own life, I see it in our lives. And as we step into 2026, what a glorious place for us to be, to pray this same prayer. On the basis of the good work that God has already started. On the basis of the good work that God is still doing. I am sure of it. I am sure of it in verse 6. And this is why we pray. Lord, would you do it among us? Would you cause us to grow? It's really quite amazing how he describes it in the verses that follow. That our love would abound more and more with knowledge. We know this is God's love that Paul is praying for here. Because God is, he's just described it as the affections of Christ in the immediate words just before in verse 8. He loves with the affection of Christ. And now he's praying for them that they would love with the affection of Christ. That their love, this affection of Christ, this love of Christ would grow in them. And so we pray. We don't just ask God to help us be more kind and more loving. We say, no, would you give us the affection of Christ? Would God's love grow in us? And Paul really did love them. It's all the way through this letter. I just want to point out one place. You can turn over the page to chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love, and I long for my joy and my crown. Stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. It's as if he can't get love enough times in that single verse. But we know it's the affection of Christ. And that's what he's praying for them. But he's not only saying it's our love for God, it's our love for one another. We notice that Paul is praying that their love would grow more and more, but that their love would be based on knowledge. And I believe he's saying that love and knowledge are really inseparable. That as we grow in our knowledge of God, we will grow in our love of God. And if you don't know God, you'll be busy with so many other loves. But so this we pray. Lord, would you cause our love to abound more and more with knowledge? Help us to know you. Open our eyes to understand you and see you in your word. Let it be based on knowing you and loving you, responding to you, to who you are. And then he ends with this verse, this word discernment in verse 9. And discernment is a word that is understood in Greek. In fact, when the Jewish Greeks translated the Old Testament, the Septuagint, in the book of Proverbs, this word of discernment appears 22 times in Proverbs. And the word basically just means practical living. All the way through the book of Proverbs, any Greek reader would have understood Paul to be saying, I pray that your love would abound more and more in knowledge and in practical living, knowing how to actually walk in this. And we need to pray for this. We have opportunities all around us. And some of it is we are just too busy with our own stuff that we don't see the needs of others around us. Wouldn't it be beautiful if God would reveal ways that we could love, practical living ways of love within the body, so that this would actually be true of us? The love of Christ, the affection of Christ would grow and grow in us based on the knowledge of who God is, and that we would know him in a growing way. We would increase in our desire to honor him as Lord, to practically love those around us. This can be exercised in our families, with our neighbors, within the church. And then the result comes in verse 10, so that you will approve what is excellent. And the word excellent simply means what is best. It's the ancient idea of testing the quality of something. The best metals. It's not just a list of what is right and wrong, and it's a legal description of what we do. That's not what it's about. It's not, okay, this is exactly what God demands. It's this, this, and this, and I'll just see what I can get away with. Or I did what was right, and I don't care if I hurt anybody in the meantime. No. We're guided by the love of God, by the knowledge of God, and we have discernment on how to live practically in the best way. How to serve in the best way. And then it's further described in verse 10, so that we would be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And I think this is really important because he's saying he's going to keep working towards the day of Christ. And he's going to work in us to accomplish these things for the day of Christ. Pure and blameless have very similar ideas, but they're slightly different. To be pure means that you are unmixed. Pure motives. The purity of the heart. It's not mixed motives. And blameless focuses on without blame, without fault, without accusation. So it's respect. Blameless has respect to what is external in our actions. And I think the best way for us to understand this is that purity is the internal and blameless is the external. That in the day of Christ, there would be this unity between the two. It wouldn't just be a creed that we declare, but it would be a living reality that what we believe is lived out in our lives. That if we love the Lord and we know him and we have discernment, that we would step out in what is best and we'd be driven for what is pure and blameless until the day Christ returns. And the combination of these two words really gives us this powerful picture of completeness. When I listen to this, all my pride is gone. Purity. Blamelessness. So many times, I have mixed motives. I can present well. I can show people how great my motivation is, but I know the truth in my innermost being. And my only hope is to pray. Because I need a righteousness that is not my own. And look how verse 11 ends. God will not just give us some righteousness. that we would be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, not our own effort, to the glory, to the praise of God. So let's pray and ask God to do this among us and continue working in 2026. Will you pray with me? Father, for those who are yours, we know it. Because we know it's only your work in us, a good work that has brought us to faith, that the gospel was your work from the very beginning in my own heart to hear and to understand and to believe as a young man, to put my full weight down on Jesus and trust his righteousness alone. You have begun a good work in me, in us, in all those who pray with me in this moment, who know that it is only your good work that you've begun. But I pray that we can all say, with the Apostle Paul in chapter 1 of Philippians verse 6, that I am sure of this one very thing, that he who began a good work in me, in us, will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. For those who are here in this room and do not yet share in the gospel, share in your grace, I pray that you would draw them to yourself in your kindness. I pray that you will continue to transform us by your grace, that is an unchanging grace, but it is changing us. Your grace to us was not without effect. Have its full effect in us. Have your way in us as a church. For some who are here this morning, with discouragement in our many failures, let us hear this truth and believe it. You're still working in us. Let us pray that our love would abound more and more, that we would know you in a greater way, that you would give us discernment and how to live, that we would approve what is the best, that you would direct us in the right steps, you would convict us of sin, move us quickly to repentance and forgiveness and transform us, and then change the way we live for all the days you will give us as long as we have breath. Let us praise the Lord in the way we live, that we would be pure without mixed motives, that we would be blameless, we'd step out and act on the basis of pure motives, ultimately filled with a righteousness that is not our own, that you would purify your bride and present us to yourself one day, glorious, only because you began a good work in us, and you are still working in us. I am so thankful in all my remembrance of each one here in this church. And I pray with joy, because I believe you are doing it. And I ask you to be glorified in the church as these verses end, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.